This is Geek News Central. My name is Todd Cochran, and the stories that lead today's show are... All right, we're going to talk about SpaceX delays and the first manned Dragon capsule launch until 2018. We're going to talk about anyone can live stream on Instagram starting today. Uber accused of tracking celebs and politicians. We're going to talk about state courts telling cops that obtaining consent is not enough just when they're a little bit suspicious. And we got a lot more to cover tonight, of course. But I want to welcome you to episode 1165 of the Geek News Central podcast for Monday, December 12th. This show is sponsored in part by GoDaddy.com and listeners just like you. Great deals from GoDaddy can be found at geeknewscentral.com/GoDaddy. You can support this show today at geeknewscentral.com/insider or paypal.me/geeknews. You can always pick up Ohana gear at cafepress.com/Ohana store. So hey everyone, welcome to the show. I want to welcome all the new listeners to the show. But if you're brand new to the show, take a few minutes and if you think I'm worthy after this start, and go over to geeknewscentral.com, and we want you to get subscribed to the show. It's real easy to do so on the right-hand column of the website. There's really a multitude of selections there. And if you don't know how to subscribe to the show, just click on the more subscribe options on that page. And of course, a little bit farther down the page is a newsletter link as well. Don't forget, just, you know, keep an eye on what's going on the website. The writers, the writing team is doing a great job putting together lots of great articles here for you. As we're leading up to CES, there's going to be a lot more. Of course, if you have comments on today's show, you can email me here, geeknews@gmail.com. If you want to follow me on Twitter, @geeknews. Join our Slack channel by sending me an email, and then let me know you want to be part of the Slack channel. Just a little conversation back and forth with the Ohana. You can follow me on Google+ or on Facebook. You can watch this show on the Roku, on the Apple TV. Listen on the Amazon Echo by telling Alexa to play the latest edition of this show's name. You can listen on Stitcher and watch or view on Blueberry.com, including the Blueberry app on, or the Tech Podcast app on your Roku. Hey, partner shows include No Better Than Average with Jacob and Jeff, Health Take Weekly with Jamie Davis, The Gadget Professor with Mr. Don Bain. Our Pro Gear site is written by your GNC team, so take a peek at that. And of course, we want to thank our longtime sponsor of the show, that's GoDaddy.com, for really, you know, they've been, this show, as of right now, is the longest running continuous sponsor of a podcast known to man. So they've been on board since July of 2005. We want to thank them for their continued support of the show, and it really would not be possible without the entire audience making a full sprint effort into picking up products and services that GoDaddy offers. And I really do appreciate it when you guys go over there and pick up a domain name, or if you pick up a whatever it may be, a hosting account. And it is getting close to Christmas, fellas and ladies. And if you haven't picked something out yet, tis the time, again, to go over to geeknewscentral.com/GoDaddy and pick up a, you know, whether it be a hosting account, whether it be a domain name, whether it be something for your business with Website Builder. Really, there's great deals there. $1 month economy hosting with a free domain. That's $12 for a year and includes that free domain. $1 month for managed WordPress hosting for the first year. Again, including a free domain, 99cent.com, 30% off discount codes. All those can be found at geeknewscentral.com/GoDaddy. Link to that page, tweet that page, Facebook that page. If Instagram's your thing, Instagram that page. Let people know about it. Let your friends and family know about this. This site is where to come and get savings on GoDaddy products and services. And really, they keep the lights on, keep family fed, keep the car insurance, and keep this show helping rocking and rolling. So, again, thanks GoDaddy for being a longtime sponsor here at Geek News Central and their ongoing support, and those of you that are supporting GoDaddy. Okay, so let me go ahead and I got a few things to talk about. Okay, it's official. I am no longer will be editing. I think we've already talked about this, but today I cemented the deal. I'll no longer be editing my videos when I am in Vegas on a Mac. As of today, I picked up a MSI gaming computer with an i7 processor, specced out with max RAM, great video card, everything that one needs to edit videos with speed and confidence. And so as of today, sayonara for editing video on a MacBook Pro. That is behind me. Of course, I use Adobe Premiere. So no big loss. I'm not giving up Final Cut or something like that. So I've said for many, many years on the show, is a computer, it's a computer, it's a computer, it's a computer. And as long as you have, it does have something to do the job, then great. Now here in the studio, it will continue with the Mac trash can, the Mac Pro. That will continue to be my primary machine to video here. But my 5.5, 6-year-old MacBook Pro, 17-inch, it is now bye-bye. So I was able to get a i7 Gen 7 and real happy with everything so far because it's been going through updates today and all that. So, you know, I was pretty serious about making the switch over, and because of the, and you know what? It cost me about half of what the MacBook Pro would have cost me. And a much better machine, a lot more RAM, an SSD drive, you know, the whole nine yards. It's got the full money, including a Rockin 1070 graphics card from NVIDIA, the whole nine yards. So it's going to be good. So that's a done deal. Hey, don't forget about my offers page to support the show, KeatonCentral.com/offers. And also, for those of you that have been paying attention to my personal new YouTube channel, you'll notice I put up a USS Arizona Memorial quick tour. And basically, I take you into the World War II Memorial Park, walk you around a little bit, show you a few things, get a few things wrong. By the way, ICBMs don't come out the front of submarines, they come out of the top. I know that, but you know, when you're walking and talking, you listen later and you're like, that was dumb. Yeah, that was wrong. A 10-minute video take you kind of through the park, a few spots, then take you on to the Arizona. I actually got on, which was amazing because typically the tickets weren't available. I just took by chance and asked the park ranger what times he had. He says, I had just someone turn in one ticket for a 9:45 launch, and it's yours. And it was like instead of waiting 4 hours for another ticket. But anyway, I took you through that. So definitely check that out on my personal YouTube channel. And of course, that link will be up in the show notes tonight. Everyone that's on Facebook, thanks for being here with us tonight. Hello, Rita. I know we had some people that jumped on, jumped off. We got some people on YouTube as well. Thank you for coming on. And thanks for being here tonight. So lots to share. And I'll see if the next time I do the show, I'm able to get the new intro. The new intro down without making a fool of myself. Okay, so let's go ahead and let's get right into the stack tonight. I've got a good lineup of stuff for you, as I said, and some cool stuff to lead off with today. SpaceX has decided that its plan to put a human crew in space using a Dragon capsule will not happen in 2017. Even though they were scheduled to launch a manned NASA mission next year, that mission has now been delayed until 2018 while they continue to evaluate its Falcon 9 rocket fueling system. Now, I don't blame them. They put a crew in a capsule and they blow one up on the pad with a crew on board. They're done. And they are going to do some more Falcon 9 launches. And they're going to make sure that when they plan on fueling with a loaded crew on, that they are going to make sure that they're safe and they're ready to go. And I think we all can appreciate that. But it's you know, it's sad that we're not going to be launching with a crew this year. But let's, I think if I'm an astronaut, we can wait that year to make sure that, you know, we're not going to kill astronauts. Now, space is a dangerous business. We've talked about this many, many times. Sadly, at some point down the road, you know, there will be something that will happen. But the escape systems that they're putting into these new capsules are pretty impressive. But they have to have you know, if a booster or if the launch rocket explodes, you know, they may not get the capsule off there in time. You know, you're just talking about split second trigger mechanisms. So we will see where this leads. But again, SpaceX has delayed their manned Dragon capsule launch until 2018, and want to make sure that they're good to go in their flight fueling practices. So sad for the SpaceX folks, but probably a sigh of relief for the astronauts getting ready to load on this. I have to share with him. This is very coincidental because I was offline all the day today. Wasn't watching any news. Had a dental appointment. Had some other stuff going on. And really hadn't. I mean, I had like 200 emails waiting for me. It was crazy. So I'm sitting. My son gets off school and he was at a class doing some homework and basically it's a classroom that there's a teacher that stays late that they go to and. So I was just kind of, you know, just kind of hanging, and I was getting a little irritated because he had not, checked in with me, and I kind of wanted to get on the road, and I knew what time he normally walked out, and he hadn't been there, and he doesn't have a cell phone yet, so I know his friends that do, so I'm like, I'm loading up, he had his Instagram account logged in on my iPad, and I saw on Instagram a live button on one of his friends, and I'm like, what's this? So I click live, and sure enough, this is just really funny. There's two girls. I'm parked along a sidewalk right inside the school complex, and the kids after school wait up. There's a bunch of benches out there that the kids are all lined up on, and this live Instagram thing comes up, and it's two girls that are wearing his middle school's name on, and I turn around and I look behind me, and sure enough, like 10 feet away, these two girls are using Instagram Live. So I found out about Instagram Live today, trying to message one of his friends to tell him, hey, I'm here, come to the car. And ultimately, my wife had a teacher, the teacher's classroom that and I'm not really allowed to go in the campus. So, it's a rule that they have for parents. Of course, they don't want just, you know, adults wandering around a middle school campus, as you can imagine. So, my wife texted me the number of the teacher that's in the room that's supervising these kids, and I texted him, and, out he trotted about 3 minutes later. So he gets in the car, and I'm like, by the way, did you know Instagram can do live? And he's like, no. And I said, well, I just watched your friends be Instagram live for about 10 seconds here in the car. And he looks at me and says, yes, you should log out of your Instagram account next time and don't leave it logged in on my iPad. So he was like, really, really, you can do live? So that was the first thing he was testing in the car as we were driving back to the house today. So yes, Instagram live for anyone starting today. In a story that should not be surprising, there is God modes in most companies when you're for an online system. And God mode at Raw Voice at Blueberry is the admin system which allows people to get into, you know, our back-end system and get into stats accounts and so forth. But we very early on at the company put in procedures that because media statistics, companies' media statistics are so sensitive, there's just, at this point in the company, there's 4 of 12, myself, Angelo, McKenzie, and Mike Dell that have access to stats accounts, to the stats system. We don't allow the rest of the team to go digging around. And it's just, you know, what it really, and it's not that I don't trust the team members, is we don't want ever to be in a conversation somewhere and reveal something that we're not supposed to. So we've limited access to that because it's so sensitive. And part of the reason I did it was because many years ago, maybe 8 years ago, I heard a very popular podcast host staff member talking about stats of one of their customers openly. And it took me back so much. I immediately, like the next day, I'm like, we got to lock this down and make sure that I don't ever want that to happen. For me, it would have been like, if we would left it open, like, you talk about this, you're going to get fired, you know, but I didn't want to even have to go to explain to a customer how come some of his data become public. So we limit those sensitive areas in our system, self-police. Just that's the way it is. Well, Uber apparently is accused of tracking celebs, politicians, ex-wives, ex-girlfriends, right down to where they're being picked up, where they're going. These allegations by this ex-employee is pretty significant. A former security, former employee, Samuel Ward Spangenberg, alleges the company doesn't have any regard for data protection. He says Uber collected data regarding every ride user's requested, their name, username, email, pickup location, amount paid, the device used to access the app, and other information on riders that we don't know is being collected on us. Uber then allowed employees to access information. This is what he's accusing. This is what he's alleging. Allowed employees to access information like ride tracking data of high-profile politicians, celebrities, even personal acquaintance of Uber employees, including ex-boyfriends, girlfriends, ex-spouses. The declaration said Uber destroyed documents it legally was required to keep, and it would cut off connectivity in its offices so law enforcement officials couldn't access Uber's information during government raids. Did you know Uber's been raided? I didn't know that. And they denied all this information. And so after he filed this declaration in October, a judge ruled that the case should be heard in private arbitration, meaning there will be no public jury trial for all but one of the former Uber employee claims. As a result, the resolution of the case may never become public. So this is crazy. Now, Uber's basically said it's absolutely untrue that all or nearly all employees have access to customer data with or without approval. And they say, and this is based on more than simply the honor system. We build entire system, implement technical and administrative controls and access to customer data. Okay, that's what Uber's saying. But when an ex-employee comes out and makes these kinds of allegations, it's concerning. Now, it may be frivolous. Do you care if Uber knows where you go? But here's something to think about. We've talked about this many, many times. So people that are married, that maybe are thinking of divorce and wanting to know where one spouse has been riding around on Uber, or knowing which routes they're taking when they're driving their car to and from work or wherever they may be going sideline. You know, all that data, all this stuff now is, you know, really... Where's my cell phone? It's here somewhere tracking me. But all that data is wrapped up, and as we become more connected, a lot of this data is going to be continued to, you know, be used. It's just like, you know, there's a lot of dumb criminals out there carrying their phones around, murderers that are carrying their phones around with them, you know, turned on, and, you know, they're driving a dead body halfway across the country, and it's logging you in and cell towers and stuff. You know, and not real smart, but it's, again, this data, it is embedded in our pocket. That's available, you know, across all these apps. All these apps are asking, turn on location data, turn on location data. You know, I had something today that I turned an app on. It says, turn on location data. I'm like, you don't need to know my location. It was an app that has nothing to do with location-based services. And I just said, no, you can't. So it's good to review that in your settings from time to time. You can invariably turn one on. But interesting news here about Uber and some serious allegations. In a ruling, Supreme Court Rodriguez decision, the Superior Court of Delaware has returned a ruling that should serve as a deterrent to a law enforcement, what they're calling fishing expeditions. This is about the Fourth Amendment. So this is a scenario. You're speeding. You get pulled over for speeding. The traffic stop goes down. You know, you give the police officer your driver's license, your proof of insurance, you know, whatever else they need to take back and write you your ticket. They come back to your car. You're having a normal conversation with them. They hand you the ticket back and, you know, and they say, do you have any questions? And, you know, if you say, well, do you have any idea how much this is going to be? And then all of a sudden, the police officer starts asking more questions and then asks, can I search your car? Based upon really nothing. Now, if you say no, up to this point, that they say, okay, we're going to detain you. We're going to go get a warrant. And 2 or 3 hours later, you might be heading down the road. Or, you got nothing to hide. You say, sure, you know, open your door up, and let them search inside your car. And pray your kid hasn't been in the car and smoking something he shouldn't have, dropped something, whatever it may be. Long story short, these fishing expeditions, the court has said, you cannot do this. You cannot come up with, nothing has been seen. There's nothing the police officer has seen in the car that has aroused his suspicion. He hasn't looked in and seen the butt of a gun. He hasn't, looked in and seen a baggie full of grass. You know, whatever, there's nothing has, the police officer doesn't think you've been drinking, but he's just saying all of a sudden, okay, I want to search your car. You have a right to ask why, do you think? And, they're supposed to give you a reason. I have reason to believe you've been drinking, or I have reason to believe you have a weapon, or reason, you know. And it can go from there. But, essentially these fishing expeditions basically said to court, so you can't do that. You can't make that jump. So, and this is what happened in this individual's case. Now, he didn't have anything in his vehicle, but he consented to the search. But afterward, really, he got upset and took the law enforcement to court, basically saying, you shouldn't, I should not have been subjected to harassment, embarrassment, and inconvenience of an automobile search following a routine traffic stop. Again, unless the officer has something precise, something specific, some sort of suspicion that the search will, he smells some sort of odor coming out of the car. You know, there's lots of things that they can trigger on. A dog is, basically triggered on your car, whatever it may be. They can't just do that. It's coercion. You know what I'm trying to say. We'll strike that up to a tautism. So, you just can't be forced. You can't be made to feel. So keep this in mind the next time you get the flashing lights in your rearview mirror. Now, you may be there for a while, but you don't have to feel like you have to consent. Okay, more news. We've been talking about net neutrality being under direct assault and setting the stage for new leadership at the FCC. The Senate failed to reconfirm Democratic Commissioner Jessica Rosenwar, so I don't think there's any surprise there that happened. That means when Chairman Tom Wheeler, the current head of the FCC, steps down, Republicans will hold a majority, and their first order of business will likely be to reverse the historic network neutrality rules that were finalized in 2015. We know under Chairman Wheeler's leadership, the agency passed federal network net neutrality policy, which prevents internet providers like Comcast and Verizon from charging websites like Netflix and Facebook a fee to reach internet users at a faster speed. Now with this changing of the guard here, set for 2-1 Republican majority at the FCC, and the president-elect Trump, an opponent of network neutrality, this is gonna could spell doom. So I'm not kidding here when I'm telling you that, you know, there may not be anything we can do about this, but you need to, we need to be ramped up to go back and fight this again and be able to make your voice heard. Social media, Facebook, Twitter, Google Plus, blog post, emails and calls to your House and Senate representatives. Make those jingles. And even if your district is a Republican, make that call and tell them what you feel about net neutrality. And if we do this in mass and enough people, you know, start this beating this drum, it could affect the change. I don't know if it will or not, but so anyway, another article on this. We're going to hear a lot more through the 20th of January, and I'm sure that you know, the drumbeat's going to get much louder very, 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 very quickly. SoundCloud, of course, no longer an acquisition target. Also in a desperate need of money because they're burning it and they haven't been profitable. SoundCloud has decided they're no longer going to remove DJ mixes. So if you ever listened to a DJ mix, and probably any one of us that have ever been to a club, you've heard one, you probably realize it's essentially a mashup of a bunch of different songs. I used to do DJ mix-ups in the 80s when I was DJing at clubs with LPs. Five. I'd have as many as five turntables going at once. And you can do some pretty impressive stuff with some DJ mixes. But I think if I did something today, it would be a little bit dated. but I think it's just like riding a bike. Yeah, riding a car. What a knucklehead. Riding a bike and just need a little practice. But they're no longer going to delete DJ mixes. And because I guess they figure they can fight the copyright issue. There was President-elect Trump loves Twitter. And his 140 characters on the F-35 wiped $2 billion off Lockheed Martin. So I guess he had to, what was good for one was good for another. So he went after Boeing first, then he went after Lockheed Martin, and basically saying that the F-35 is, a lot of money. And it is a lot of money. You know, it is a program that is simply, if you guys go look at the cost of a single F-35, you know, there's 400, now listen to this, $400 billion committed to the manufacturer of the F-35. So that's an incredible amount of money. And F-35 is responsible for 20% of Lockheed's annual revenue. You know, while he's saying one thing, I don't think that they're not going to stop that program of record. I don't think it'll ever be scaled back. He's putting these companies on notice. He's basically saying, listen, you know, we're going to be looking at these contracts and we're going to figure out why stuff costs so much. And sometimes it's, you know, I had a conversation with someone recently at the procurement process, and in any government entity is rife with like multiple stakeholders. And that's what drives the cost up, is all these stakeholders have to do sign-offs, and it's supposed to be, you know, cost control and fraud prevention and everything that goes along with making sure the taxpayer dollars are spent wisely. But ultimately what happens is there's all these additional costs that get added on because so many people are touching the contract, looking at things, and cost centers and the whole nine yards. So the only way he can fix this whole budget thing is to burn the budget process down and burn it down and start over. There's really no other way. But I don't know if it's even possible to even do that. All right, moving on here. Netflix, Amazon, HBO combined for 70% of the best TV shows at the Golden Globe Awards. I thought they had the I thought we already had the actual awards, or maybe that was a People's Choice or something. But anyway, I guess the Golden Globes were nominations. Oh, what played last night? People's Choice or Critics' Choice? That was what was on television yesterday. But anyway, Netflix saw two of its shows nominated for Best Drama, The Crown and The Stranger Things, while Amazon got two comedy nods for Transparent and Mozart in the Jungle. And a variety of different, other television programs. So I guess that's what it was. Critics' Choice was last night and Golden Globe nominations today. Some of those programs are good. I be honest with you, I was watching part of The Crown. I think I got halfway through the first year's series. Watched Stranger Things already. I've already done that full series. Lots of good stuff coming out of these companies. And speaking of which, here are Gizmodo's top 10 and 5 worst TV shows of 2016. I haven't seen The Expanse, number one. I haven't seen this yet, so I'm going to have to make sure I put that on the list. Of course, Game of Thrones, Westworld, Luke Cage. I haven't seen Luke Cage's either. Steven Universe, haven't seen that. Of course, I've seen Stranger Things. The Good Place, Person of Interest, Supergirl, and Ash versus Evil Deed are the top 10. The 5 worst TV shows: Sleepy Hollow, Damien, American Horror Story Roanoke, Van Helsing, and Fear the Walking Dead. So those are the 5 worst. So I have these linked up in the show notes. A couple series here that I need to check out that I haven't seen yet. Anyone see The Expanse? Was it good? Also, how many of you had Facebook posting old photos? And well, a lot of people were. So don't freak out. They had a bug. They got it fixed. So if you were seeing old posts being reposted, specifically pictures, Facebook definitely had a problem. Also, Apple's new TV app has went live with unified search. So make sure you update your Apple TV. And this long-awaited app is now live, but still no Netflix. The company's new app for iPhones and iPads, simply called TV, makes it easier to discover TV shows and movies across all of your different apps. It displays content from all the supported apps you subscribe to, content you purchased from iTunes, and new apps that offer video. Hey, one thing I'm going to ask. Does anyone know if you can get Sci-Fi Channel separately through another company? You don't have to be a cable subscriber to get Sci-Fi Channel. Has anyone got Sci-Fi as a cord cutter? If you do, I want to hear from you, okay? I think that's the last channel that, and I haven't done the research, to be honest with you. I've been too busy, but if one of the Ohana can help me out, that would be awesome. Hello, Brad. Welcome to the show. Thank you for coming on. Also, not be surprising as many car buffs as they're out there, but more people are illegally downloading The Grand Tour than Game of Thrones. Well, Game of Thrones has already kind of been, it's on the back burner, waiting for the new season. Grand Tour is a little bit new, but it's already setting records for illegal downloads. Its first episode has been downloaded 7.9 million times, while episodes 2 and 3 are 6.4 and 4.6, a grand total of 18.9, whereas Game of Thrones hit a peak of 14.4. So car buffs are beating those of us that like to see people getting chopped up in Game of Thrones. All right, here is, I'm being very, very serious here now. Do you have a Netgear router? Okay, listen. Here's the model numbers. You need to do this immediately, okay? There's a critical bug that allows remote attackers to inject highly privileged commands, whether anyone is connected to the local Netgear networks or not. Okay. So it comes from a little bit of link bait, but what will happen is if you have a R7000, R6400, and R8000 models, these models are very vulnerable. Exploiting the vulnerability is trivial, officials with CERT has basically said. So, users who have those devices, 7,500, 7,800, 8,500, 9,000, 7,000, 6,400, and 8,000. It's all in the article. You need to stop using this router. It does not appear that there is any fix yet. Now, there is a temp fix, but you can't reboot. All right, if you've got one of these Netgear routers, be fully aware that these routers are compromised, okay? So make sure that you look at your model numbers. Link will be in the show notes. Very, very important for all of you. The FCC is trying to figure out what to do with the Internet of Things. Specifically, you know, we've got tea kettles now that are hackable. Our refrigerators are connected to the Internet. You know, just about anything today that has a Wi-Fi connection back to your home network is potentially an open way for a hacker to get into your home network. The FCC is exploring some potential things to hold manufacturers accountable. But there's a lot of risk in a lot of these devices that are out there. So as you're getting ready to buy your next connected device, and there's a lot of them. It's amazing what connects now. You need to really look at the security of those devices, ask hard questions of salespeople, do some reading up as best you can, and then when those devices are on your network, if they don't have to call home to mama on the network, you know, isolate them. If you have a good router, you can isolate them, make sure that they're, you know, nothing can get to them. So just be aware of that. There's, you know, a huge number of these devices now are being hacked and being used for denial of service attack. Some of them call home the mama and are compromised within minutes of being connected to the Internet. And it's only a matter of time before, you know, you wake up one morning and you have some internet-connected device that has basically been compromised, and you have a ransom demand on your computer or whatever it may be, and your network's owned. Your email's downloaded, your checking account's empty because they've logged into your banking system. You know, one system that I don't ever cache, store, is banking passwords. Okay, that probably is the only, you know, there's so many passwords we have to keep in our head, but I don't even store banking information on services like LastPass or anything like that, because someone log into your bank, set up a bank transfer, transfers money out of your bank, you're screwed. Good luck proving that you didn't do that. So just be aware out there, okay, of these Internet of Things that connect to the network. The cheaper, you're probably the higher the risk. Ford Motor Company has gotten a patent that has make some people going, Last week, a patent that was filed in June of 2015 was finally published. It outlines a system that uses crowdsourcing to gather identification on vehicles. A processor seeks identifying characters within a taken image, and if it matches the request received, it can report that it found something. Now, what could that be used for? It would come in handy if your car gets stolen. Other cars on the road could start searching for your plate and report its location to police in real time. If an Amber Alert is issued, the car in question won't take much time to find if a whole bunch of camera-equipped cars are capable of searching for it. There are some serious privacy implications on this. Thankfully, it appears Ford thought of this ahead of time. It mentioned that its system would be dedicated solely to asset protection, and it would require owners to opt in by providing information like a license plate number, address, phone number, and a vehicle identification number. The system could also notify vehicle owners to ensure that requests for tracking came from the owner, not some third party, and it is unlikely that every automaker would opt to help Ford track plates, so it's not likely every car on the road would be watching where you're going. how long before these cars start reporting in that we're speeding and we get an issued a ticket like what was popular in one movie. Won't be too long. Actually, you can now get cheaper insurance by putting one of those trackers in your car, right? Calls home to mom and tells you if you've been speeding, braking hard, taking curves too fast, that kind of stuff. An Apple engineer came forward and reveals the real reason Steve Jobs didn't allow Flash on the iPhone. If you guys remember back, that was a big deal. Well, what it really was, and it really kind of goes back to some comments Steve Jobs made, is he was not happy with Adobe's ability to patch and fix stuff that was a security issue. And that's kind of what they said in the beginning, but and there was a little bit of a war going on between Apple and Adobe at the time too. So you know, Steve Jobs was probably rightfully justified not to put Flash on the iPhone. Disney. IT workers in a lawsuit claim discrimination against Americans. And this is interesting. We know that a bunch of Disney workers, matter of fact, a bunch of folks out on the West Coast, some of our Ohana, lost their jobs. IT workers that were out on the West Coast working for, I believe, a power utility. They brought in H-1B visa holding replacements. And in both cases, at Disney and out at the power company, I think it was PG&E out on the West Coast, they were... And basically, the American employees were forced to teach their replacements their jobs. So, a new lawsuit has been filed on Monday in a U.S. District Court in Orlando, alleging discrimination on the basis of national origin and race. The Disney IT employee, said Sarah Blackwell, Florida labor attorney who is representing the group, lost their jobs when their jobs were outsourced to contracting companies, and those companies brought in mostly virtually all non-American national origin workers. The people who were laid off were of multiple races, but the people who came in were mostly one race. The lawsuit alleges that Disney terminated the employment of the plaintiffs based solely on their national origin and race, replacing them with a foreign national, a specific foreign national. And this is a second lawsuit that has went against Disney. Got a basically dismissal judgment on the first one. So, you know, keep that in mind. That is a what's going on in the workspace and employees trying to, you know, keep their jobs and not be outsourced or actually have people insourced from another country to get rid of you. All right, the NES Classic Edition, boy, it's just not available. It's impossible to find. People are charging $200 for them if you want one. But you can build one. The system is relatively straightforward. Get yourself a Raspberry Pi and some retro gaming controllers. Load up some free emulator software. Acquire the ROMs for your old games and put it all together. It comes about $100 to build one. And if you already have stuff like an SD card and maybe some PlayStation controllers, you can get put together for a lot less. Little geek project for the holidays. I'll wait for them to become available. If you're on Comcast, congratulations, you get a 3.8% rate increase fee, largely for no reason whatsoever. Comcast is charging, is increasing the cost for broadcast TV and regional sports network fees. By the way, those fees aren't actually required. It's just something Comcast added to the bill in 2014. But they are going to be raising your rates, an increase of nearly $48 per year by sneakily hidden these increases in those fees that aren't actually needed. So don't you just love Comcast and their ability to squeeze more cash out of you? Apple may invest in SoftBank's $100 billion tech fund. That was an announcement that was made. Japan SoftBank, which is hoping to raise $100 billion, is reaching out to big companies. Apple is thinking about contributing again $1 billion to the fund. The Japanese telecommunication giant, which owns Sprint, hopes to launch the fund next year, called the SoftBank Vision Fund, will focus on emerging technologies. So that's where they basically invest in startups. So, and they're going to be pushing into what we just talked about a few minutes ago, the Internet of Things, the idea of connecting more devices, objects to the web. And obviously, a lot of that is over cellular networks, which makes a lot of sense for SoftBank having owned Sprint. Google is partnering with Cuba for faster YouTube and Gmail. The search giant's going to install servers on the island to store data for its services. So they signed a deal with national telecom provider at ECSA. And previously, signals had to travel from Cuba through Venezuela, which hurt the quality of the data. Google sites YouTube and Gmail should be able to load 10 times faster within Cuba. I don't know how they're going to be. I guess they're still going to route it through Venezuela. I don't think there's any fiber between Florida and Cuba. That'll probably change at some point down the road. If the current status quo is maintained. Interesting enough, Microsoft says that MacBook Pro owners are switching to the Surface. And I looked at the Surface, but the price was quite a bit higher than the MSI machine that I got, and it basically had the same thing. So they're saying they're having a huge number of people that are doing a trade-in and getting a discount. So that's an interesting move here. Microsoft was running a promotional offer for MacBook trade-ins. Pro and Air users got up to $650 put towards a Surface Book or Surface Pro from October 27th to November 23rd. And so that's a big discount. So people trying to move folks over to Windows machines. So I think Mac, Apple made a big mistake. Qualcomm, you don't think about them as powered by. You know, the machine I just bought has got an Intel i7 chip in it. But it appears Qualcomm, within next year, you may see laptops and computers on show floors that have Qualcomm chips in it. They're going to be joining the PC and server market. And they're going to be challenging Intel's areas of strength. So this is going to be an interesting. Qualcomm's first jab at the PC market was doomed, though, with the failure of Windows RT. And that was years ago. But the re-entry into PCs with Windows 10 is better organized, and the ARM-based Snapdragon 835 will be able to run popular Win32 apps that typically run on x86 chips. But it won't be easy. They face challenges with 64-bit applications, drivers, and peripherals, which is critical for, you know, stuff that I do. You know, AMD's had their chance as well, but so now Qualcomm is going to give it a run. Intel always needs a little kick in the pants a little bit from time to time. A disclosure, I do own stock in Intel. Panasonic's new shopping system automatically bags and tallies your bill. Of course, with the Amazon store announcement, looks like Panasonic is looking to get some of their information out on the street. So if you go into a store with a basket, this is kind of cool. So, you know, oftentimes you go into like a little mini mart or something like that, and you're not going to buy a lot of things. You're just, you know, you're going to get 4, 5, 6, maybe 10 items, you know, some chips, some water, whatever it may be. I mean, one of those little, you know how they are, those little shopping containers. Well, you set it on the machine, and basically your order drops into a bag, and it's already scanned. It, has the bag all prepped for you. You run your credit card and you're out of there. So the Panasonic system uses tags applied to goods that you pick up to tally the cost, and then automatically bags your selection via a trap door. So here in Hawaii, I don't know how they're going to get away with that, because we don't have plastic bags no more. You got to bring your own. It sucks. It really does. You go into a store, you buy 4 or 5 items, and you don't have a reasonable bag with you, and they just look at you, and you have to walk out with like 4 or 5 things in your arm. It's ridiculous. So, you know, in my car now, I've got, you know, half a dozen of those quote unquote reusable bags that last about 4 times. So, yeah, here in Hawaii, they banned it. Now, some stores have gotten around with it because they give you a higher ply plastic bag that is reusable. So, one thing that's a problem now is people now, here's one consequence of them not giving you bags at checkout. People with dogs are now having to go online to Amazon and buying in bulk doggy poo poo bags. So, you now are really not helping the situation at all, because they're having to order bags to use for that. Because everyone was using those bags that they brought home from the convenience stores to, do doggy doo doo pickup. All right. According to some folks, final 10 minutes of Rogue One are stunning. And that was a report by Kevin Smith, fanboy Kevin Smith. He says, you're not going to want to leave your seat during the film's last 10 minutes. Not that you're planning on it, of course. Smith and his daughter attended the Rogue One premiere on Saturday. And they said it was la wowza. So, this is a big opening here in the U.S. in just 2 days. So be ready. Don't run to the bathroom the last 10 minutes, all right? You've been told. Apple AirPods might finally hit store shelves in a few days. Okay. I'm not buying any. By the way, I'm going to tell you what happened. So, you guys know I got the iPhone 7. I was crying about it when they announced it, about the headphone connector has been going on. And I bought a bunch of these little, not a bunch, but like three or four of these little jacks, and hooked them to everything that I have that I've been using to plug into my phone. So on the QT, I bought two Bluetooth headsets. One that was a plug into ears that had this like little loop thing. And I bought one that has a one ear muff and a boom mic. So today I used the one with the one ear muff with a boom mic, and we were stuck in traffic because our zipper lane machine did not open a lane. But anyway, I'm talking on the phone with Mike Dell of my tech support guy, and I'm like, how's the connection? He says, oh man, it sounds horrible. And I'm like, really? He says, yeah, hook your wired one in. That thing's junk. So one down. So Bluetooth, I don't know what it is. I have bad luck with Bluetooth. It never sounds right. I have no idea why. But I'm going to be using the dongles for a while until some of the Kickstarters get out with chargers that have a new headphone jack. But it's just, I'm just like, can't win for losing when it comes to Bluetooth. All right, dozens were arrested in International Denial of Service for Hire crackdown. This is an ongoing part of, some of the stuff that happened here recently. But law enforcement agencies arrested 34 suspects in 13 countries, including the UK and the US, as part of a crackdown last week. The arrest targeted buyers of denial of service for hire services, which get paid to flood websites or internet-connected systems. In addition to 34 arrests, law enforcement agencies interviewed and warned another 101 individuals. Many of the suspects were under the age of 20. And most buyers for denial of service for hire use them to pull pranks, often in online gaming, or to try to take down websites like Geek News Central, which they tried and failed last year, knock on wood. Not to say that it isn't possible, but boy, oh boy, they gave it a run for the money and spent some cash doing it. But, these folks have been, a few folks have been put in a slammer, and a few peaks have probably got a pretty stiff warning. So at least to see they're going after some of these folks. All right, Reuters is reporting that WhatsApp, Skype are set to come under new European Union security rules. So as early as next year, some security laws that are supposed to be coming on the books in the European Union could be basically really putting the screws to both Skype and apps like that, basically saying that web servers will have to guarantee the confidentiality of communications and obtain users' consent to process their location data, mirroring similar provisions included in a separate data protection law due to come in force in 2018. So they're trying to basically say, hey, you got to stop some of the stuff that you're doing right now in tracking and some of this privacy stuff. If you live in Japan, Google's Android Pay mobile wallet arrives in Japan. Handsets running Google OS will be able to complete transactions at more than 470,000 locations that already accept the Rakuten Edy money. So this is pretty popular in Japan. Japan's been doing touch purchasing with phones for a long time. We are so far behind. You can go to a vending machine and get a soda or a beer with your cell phone. I'm not kidding you. It's that prevalent. So anyway, the Japanese are probably like, yawning. The EFF has a good article, and they're basically they're going to war for us. They're saying the music industry should not be able to cut off your internet access. If this public knowledge and the Center for Democracy and Technology urged the United States Courts of Appeals for the Fourth Circuit to protect internet subscribers in BMG versus Cox. No one should be able to have to fear losing the internet connection because of unfounded accusations, but some right holders want to use copyright law to force your internet service provider to cut off your access whenever they say so. And in a case the Washington Post called the copyright case that should worry all internet providers, they're hoping the courts will help them. So they've filed amicus briefs and stuff to try to basically help the courts come to the right decision. But if anybody's out there infringing, got infringement warnings, you better be worried about this case. Because if they lose and BMG wins, you could lose your internet service for life. So just be aware of that, okay? If you're a repeat infringer, they may demand that you no longer be able to have any internet access. So I don't know how they can do that in this day and age, but that has potential. Remote places. I live in a remote place. Okay, everything has to come here by ship or by air. You know, as my grandfather said, he'd come to Hawaii once we built a tunnel. Obviously, that did not happen. But Hawaii is not the most remote place. But there's a YouTuber called Real Life Lore that explores where he would have to go on Earth to be as far away from humanity as possible. And this is pretty cool. It's a pretty cool video. 8 minutes and 54 seconds to make you scratch your head just a little bit. There are some pretty remote places on planet Earth. And no, it's not like South Pole of Antarctica. So I'll have that link up in the show notes for you to check out. All right. Gaming and gaming addicts. Do we have any listening to the show? I have one in my house right now that I'm working on to the point where I'm shutting his internet off. California man spent $1 million playing Game of War. But it wasn't that he spent $1 million of his own dollars. He spent $1 million of his employer's dollars. A 45-year-old California man pled guilty in federal court Thursday to ripping off $4.8 million from his employer. Notably, the man admitting spending $1 million of that bonanza on Game of War. The mobile phone game is developed by Machine Zone and heavily advertised by model Kate Upton. It's one of the top-grossing mobile games in the world, according to Adweek. No wonder. Kevin Lee Coe admitted in Sacramento federal court from May of 2008 to March of 2015, he embezzled nearly $5 million from his controller job at a heavy equipment company called Holt, California. He spent $1 million on Game of War. He also admitted to getting plastic surgery, buying season tickets to San Francisco 49ers and the Sacramento Kings. The record also shows he bought luxury cars and a golf club membership. That's all he bought with $5 million? What did he do with the rest? $1 million on a stupid mobile game. Game of War players are spending an average. What is this? Folks, I'm in the wrong business. $550 on the game. Game of War's paying players spend an average of $550 on the game. Oh my God, we need some interventions. $550? I better never hear anyone that's on a mobile plan complain about their mobile service if they're spending $550 on a game. Oh my gosh. What is wrong with... Hello? Hello? If you're doing that, stop. Hello? I almost want to end the show on that. Are you a Linux user? Ever had someone come and kind of spy over your shoulder? Well, there's a, did you know there's a function where you can clear your desktop where everything goes disappears? There's a little bit of a tool out there. I'll have that link up in the show notes. Okay, last couple articles here. NASA's Restore L contract nudges SSL closer to in-orbiting servicing. We've talked about satellites that could be designed and built to go out and service or retrieve or deorbit dead satellites. Basically, SSL is a parent company of MDA of Canada, and NASA is basically going out and moving forward and doing some contracts and saying, hey, let's see what we can do here. And they've been working with DARPA and a variety of other folks to see what they can do to maybe declutter space a little bit. So I think this is a worthy endeavor. Also, speaking of remote places, if you're an astronomer and you want to go to see Antarctica's newest space observatory, you have to track inland for 750 miles. I don't know if they fly you in or if you have to use one of those snow machines, but it's 750 miles inland. But scientists can access a type of light known as terahertz radiation. So you're out in the middle of Antarctica where there's no water vapor. And that's in the middle of Antarctica, 750 miles inland. So no coast-to-coast stuff tonight. I didn't prep it tonight. So we're going to end. We're going to end early. Can you believe that? Wow. Hope you guys enjoyed the show today. Thank you for allowing me to to fudge, or I didn't. You didn't allow. I just did fudge the beginning of the show. So anyway, that was a pretty rough start. Hey, don't forget about our sponsors. Sponsor specifically, GoDaddy. Make sure you get over to geekinthecentral.com/GoDaddy. Share that link with your friends, family members, people that you know. You hear anyone talking about starting a website, maybe even nudge them and say, hey, maybe you should start a blog. Maybe you should start a podcast. Don't forget the, a domain name or a blog with someone's name or a using a new top-level domain makes a great Christmas present. It's something that can be creative and can last a lifetime if they so desire. My daughter, I have to tell you, she called me. And she says, Dad, GoDaddy charged me $98. And I'm like, yes. What's that for? And I said, your renewal fee for your website? Oh. Oh, okay. And I said, we talked about this last year. Why are you surprised? And she said, I didn't know it was coming. She says, they send your renewal notices several weeks via email. Do you read your email? No. I'm like telling my daughter, well, remember, companies communicate, digital companies communicate via email, so it might be advisable to at least look once a week at your email. I know you just do texting, but she was, she's getting ready to go to Japan on vacation, and I think that $98 surprised her, but she's got a website that she's been working on and blogging to a little bit. I've been asked not to share that website. But, so she was a little bit surprised. She'd started off on a $12 plan, but it, you know, it renewed. And it is as I tell all of you, remember when the introductory price rolls off, make sure you know what your renewal fee is going to be for a year. So, yeah, she was a little bit surprised. I'm like, obviously she doesn't listen to the show. Even though I told her that, but, the trials and tribulations of growing up as a young adult in today's world. Yes, check your email once in a while. That is an important part of being an adult. But these, you know, these millennials, they don't do that. Gen X, or not Gen Zs, don't do it either. Actually, before we go, I read a disturbing article, and I should have saved it, but it talked about kids as young as 3 and 4, and maybe as young as 5 now, are understanding, you know, they're spending a lot of time watching YouTube videos and watch other kids doing stuff on YouTube. And we're raising a generation of content creators. And if you have a, you know, my son at He'll be 13 tomorrow. He is doing stuff on YouTube. It's a lot of experimentation. Most of it's not that great, but it's just like he's kind of learning and using some of Dad's equipment and, you know, getting, he's taking what's called Mini Mac here in Hawaii to learn how to create media. You know, he's getting taught. He's actually running a TriCaster at his school, the whole nine yards. I keep telling him, I say, you're going to be the one who'll be up in here running a TriCaster for me. So, you know, he's getting his land legs and he's using the studio once in a while. But we're raising a generation of kids that are going to be creating content and putting themselves online even more than we are already. So look at what's happening at your house. Look, and if you have kids in this age group, you know, let's just say 5 to 20, look at how much media, see if they're creating media, see if they're trying to build a brand. I think with the proper guidance, there's remarkable things that are going to be coming. But at the same time, we have to make sure we get our kids up to speed on appropriate stuff to share, and understanding their security and all that other stuff that is important as kids that we all need to, you know, use to protect them as well. So it's just like my son, I review everything he puts up online, make sure that he's not in there cussing when he's gaming or whatever it may be. And so far, so good. He's been warned on the rules of the road. But it's just like these girls today that were on Instagram that were streaming, and the two of them were streaming right out, you know, right on basically 10 feet behind me in the car. Well, I thought it was, you know, surprising that they'd opened up that to everyone. I also made me think, wow, I wonder if their mom and dads know that they are online live with Instagram. So, you know, it tends to a bigger question that's out there. So I'd love to hear from any of you that have kids or grandkids or that are considering or starting to do stuff for YouTube and, you know, what's going on. There's some great successful YouTube kids out there that are under the direction of their parents. They're doing very well. Their college and stuff is paid for based upon the volume of traffic they're getting. So not everyone can be a YouTube star, obviously, but it does beg to question what's happening in our own homes and to look. It made me think about it quite a little bit, and wanted to share with you here before we departed today. But anyway, that's it. Oh, Rita says, I quit Game of War. Rita, how much were you spending a month on Game of War? And Stormy's watching tonight. She says, Todd, you should be back here in Michigan enjoying our nice little snowstorm we just had. Someday, potentially, yes, someday I could be back. So anyway, that's it. Thanks for being on live with me. I hope you guys had a good time. But you notice I've been trying to start the show a little earlier for live. It isn't going to happen all the time. But there's no soccer going on right now, and my kid's talking about flag football. I'm not a big fan of football and all the head injury stuff, so I'm trying to redirect him into some other stuff, but I may not be successful, so some flag football stuff might be going on. Here in Hawaii, they can do flag football year-round because it never gets cold, so, and they have leagues and stuff, so we may end up with a football player in the house. I don't know. I have mixed feelings about that. But anyway, I'm wandering. Everyone, thanks for being here. Everyone, take care. Oh, Rita said nothing. Good, 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 good. And everyone, take care. Thanks for being here. Everyone, take care. Geeknews@gmail.com. Aloha.